book of Proverbs, chapter number 28. The book of Proverbs in the Old Testament, chapter number 28. If you can find the book of Psalms, you can find the book of Proverbs, because Proverbs follows the book of Psalms. We'll look at chapter number 28 and a particular verse that the Lord has spoke to my heart about. Even traveling in last night, coming in, I preached in North Carolina yesterday evening and was late last night coming in. And the Lord began to deal with my heart in traveling up the road about this particular verse of Scripture. So there's not a doubt in my mind and there's not a doubt in my heart that this message will be for somebody, no doubt for more than one. God never sends a message unless there is a recipient intended. God never sends a message just out into the blue wild yonder for nobody. He's always sent a message for a people, and sometimes He'll even send a message for a person. But I'm confident the Lord wants us to share this simple truth this morning about the two coverings for sin. The two coverings for sin. We'll read about the first one and preach about it a little while, and then we'll close, Lord willing, the service with the last covering. As many of you probably know where I'm going, and I'll probably not share too much this morning that would be classified as new. Just wrote down some things the Lord put in my heart about the service this morning, and so I trust you'll be attentive and prayerful for me as we endeavor to preach the Word of God this morning. We'll read the verse of Scripture in Proverbs 28 and then verse number 13. Proverbs 28:13, and then we'll have a word of prayer. The Bible says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." I want to read it again. "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." I believe what I want to do is go ahead and read the other verse. Hold your place right there. I was going to wait till later, but I believe the Lord wants me to read it now. In the book of Psalms, chapter 32, in verse number 1. Hold your place in Proverbs 28:13. And then we want to read Psalms 32 and verse number 1. We read about the first covering of sin in Proverbs 28:13. We'll read about the second covering that I would like to bring to your attention this morning in Psalm 32, verse number 1. "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." Two coverings for sin. We'll look at that, the first one in Proverbs 28, and then the last one in Psalm 32, verse 1. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the blessed Word of God that you've given to us, preserved and inspired, that we could have a copy and that we could know, Lord, your mind and your will. Lord, what we know about the Savior comes from the Bible. What we know about sin, Lord, comes from the Bible. What we know about the heaven and hell and sinners and salvation and all of that, Lord, we know from the Word of God. And I thank you for the Bible. Lord, help us to make much of it, because it, Lord, surely makes much of us. And Father, I pray you will stir our hearts. Lord, help me to know, Lord, what to say, what not to say. I pray that we'll be personal with this awaiting congregation. I pray the power of God will be upon us today. I'm not here to go through just a little scriptural lesson, give a little religious discourse. I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in being a mouthpiece for the Savior. I'm interested this morning in trying to stand between somebody and a disaster in their life. And I pray that You'll help us today to do the will of God, and we'll thank You for it. Please, dear Father, allow the Spirit of God to work mightily in our midst today. Lord, we need You. Lord, You're deserving of our best. You are deserving of our best to sing in the choir, best in teaching in the Sunday school. You're deserving of our best of being attentive while the choir and the Sunday school is going on, while the preaching is going on. Help me, Lord, today to give You my best for Your glory and for Your honor. Lord, save sinners in our midst today. Deal with hearts that are saved but not right with You, and we'll thank You for it. Do a great work among us, that there'll be fruit from this service, dear Lord, at the judgment seat of Christ. Lord, this could be the life-changing service for someone this morning. And I pray that, dear Lord, our hearts will be dealt with by Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Back again, if you would please, in the book of Proverbs, the 28th chapter, in verse number 13, we find the first covering. I believe it's easy to note the difference between the two coverings. I believe it's very clear, very upfront, very visible there in those verses. Proverbs 28:13 shows man covering his sin. And then Psalm 32:1 shows that it's God covering your sin. Now, the first one, of course, is a human covering. The second would be a divine covering. And the first one will be ineffective. The second will definitely be effective. Amen? Yes, sir. The first covering will get you into trouble. Well, amen. When a man tries to cover his own sin, it'll get you into trouble, as this verse will show us. But I'll tell you, if you let God cover your sin, it won't put you into trouble, but it'll get you out of it. Amen. It'll set you free from the law of sin and death. But in Proverbs 28 and verse 13, let's look at that verse if we could this morning for a few minutes. The Bible said, "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper." Now, why does the Bible say that? Why does God put that scripture in the Word of God for us to have? It is because God knows the tendency of a human nature to cover up their sin. Now, I believe it's very evident in the Bible. There's multiple examples of that. And can we go to our ultimate forefather, Adam himself? What did he do with his sin? What did they do to try to deal with their sin? What did they do? They tried to hide it. They tried to cover it up. When God come walking in the cool of the day there in the Garden of Eden, after that man and Adam and Eve had listened to the devil and fell into sin, disobeyed God, what happened was, when God came, Adam ran, and the first thing he did was to hide himself. Why? What was he doing? He was trying to cover his sin. And then, of course, you know the story, that when they had sinned, their eyes were open, and they seen themselves naked, and there was a sense of shame that come with that. Unbecoming of America today. Unbecoming of America today. In the Bible, nakedness and shame and sin goes together. But our day, in our country, the less you wear, the more in you are, and the more unashamed that people are. Now, you know that's true whether you say amen or not. It is exactly the fact. But anyway, their eyes were open. Adam and Eve, their eyes were open. And what did they begin to do when they noticed their nakedness, which was a repercussion of the sin that they had committed against God? They began to sew fig leaves together. For what effort? To cover their sin. So there's, God knows that that's our tendency. That's the nature of man. That's the nature of a woman, of a boy, of a girl. It is our nature first to sin. You don't have to go to school to learn how to sin. You don't have to be educated to sin. You don't, listen, I'm telling you, you can take a little baby that's born, and if it could survive on its own, I'm saying just if it could survive on its own, you could put it out in a wilderness somewhere where there is not another human being, and that young'un will know how to sin. Amen? Amen. You don't have to teach a baby to lie. They'll cry when there's nothing wrong with them. Amen. Listen, they go forth from the womb, the Bible says, speaking lies. David said, in my mother's womb, my mother did conceive me. In sin, my mother conceived me. Not that she was committing a sinful act, that wasn't what it was. It was David was talking about the transfer of that sinful nature of mama and daddy is transferred through the blood and through the birth right into the boy or to the girl. And they're born with a sinful nature. And if you let that boy and girl make their own decisions in life, they're going to choose to go in a way that's going to cater to their fallen nature. So God put that verse of Scripture in the Bible because He knows the nature of man is to sin. But not only is the nature of man to sin, the nature of man is to cover it up when he sins. Amen. That's right. There are still unsolved murder mysteries in America today. Bunches of them. And you know why they're unsolved? It's because the criminal was a master of cover-up. Made sure that he didn't leave any evidence behind. Cover-up. Cover-up. Well, even though they may have got it covered up to where Brother Clapper couldn't investigate the long arm of the law over here and Brother Bob Moffitt and find them out, guess what? They're found out with God. God saw the act. God saw the details. God don't need a fingerprint. God don't need, my friend, some other left behind signs of what the act was and who did it. God knows it all, and He knows who you are. He knows who I am and where I am and what I am. And He knows, my friend, our thoughts afar off. He knows every idle word. He knows us this morning. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that all things are naked and open under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Go to the doctor. If they want to see on the inside of you, they've got to put you in an x-ray machine. But a doctor don't need an x-ray machine. He can see through us. We are transparent. We are transparent. I'm telling you, how many of us would even be in church this morning if we were transparent? I'm talking about if when you walked in the building, immediately when the preacher looked at you, he knows what you've been doing. I wonder how many would show up this morning if you were transparent, that when you walked in the building this morning, the preacher could say, I know what you've been thinking. I know what you've been saying. I know where you've been. I know what the attitudes of your hearts have been. Why wouldn't be nobody here? I'm talking about if I just had that ability. Just little old me. And by the way, I don't. I don't even know half what goes on in my own heart. Amen. That's right. But I tell you, the God I serve this morning, He knows accurately. He never gets anything crossed up. What was with one person messing it up and thinking it was for another and have to say, oh, excuse me, I'm sorry, I messed up right there. He never does that because He knows who's who and what's what. So the Bible has this verse in it because God knows our nature to sin. And God knows our nature to cover it up. And so God puts a verse in the Scripture, not just one, but many. But God puts this one that's very plain, very clear, very easy to understand. Puts it in the Word of God so as to show us that yes, when we sin, we need to deal with it, but not cover it up ourselves. And we'll talk about that in a minute. Let's look at it again. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Now if you'll notice that in that verse of Scripture, God puts two divisions there. God, first of all, puts on one side a practice. And then on the other side, He puts a promise. Do you see it? The practice is, he that covereth his sin. The practice is, whoso confesseth and forsaketh them. The promise that God puts in here is, when our practice is a cover-up, God says the promise is, you're not going to prosper. Amen? And also when our practice is confessing and forsaking our sin, God says, all right, that's your practice. Here's my promise. You'll have mercy. Amen. A lot of the promises in the Bible are conditional. Do you know that? Amen. That's true. A lot of them are conditional. That simply means God is saying, if you'll do, I'll do. God is saying on conditional promises that whatever you do determines what I do. And God is saying in this Bible that if you cover your sin, and I'll show you how that is, when you cover your sin, God says, I make you a promise. You'll not prosper. But then on the positive note, God is saying that if you will confess and forsake your sin, God says, I'll tell you what, you'll have mercy. Amen? And so I want us to learn. Hey, by the way, I think it'd be good for all of us this morning to kind of pay attention. You know why? Because all of us in this building, until you draw your last breath, is going to have a battle with S-I-N. I'm as saved as you can get and still be on this side. But I'm telling you what, I still have my flesh. It is still wicked and depraved. It's ungodly. My flesh nature, my human nature, it still loves sin, and yours does too. And don't look at me that way. Some of you looking at me like you're the man of God and you got problems. Yeah, I'm human. Duh. Amen. Now, I tell you what, now just because I have problems don't mean I'm out here yielding to that. That does not mean, my friend, just because there's a temptation or because, my friend, the devil might tries to allure me in some regard, that doesn't mean that I'm yielding. But I'll tell you what, all of us will have a battle with purity all the days of our life. The devil knows that he can't get you salvation if you're saved. So what he wants to do is fill your life with impurities and sin so as to cloudy up your testimony where you cannot be effective for other people to be saved. That's right. He's got your testimony. He's got your effectiveness. That's right. Amen. If he gets you, listen, he knows you can't get you your salvation, but I tell you what, he will settle, if you're saved, he will settle for taking your joy. And that's one of the fruits, buddy, of allowing sin to come in your life. And by the way, I did say that accurately, allowing sin. Sin will never get in your life forcefully. Sin will never take over. Sin will never back you in a corner, twist your arm, pull up behind your head, put you in a full Nelson, body slam you on the floor, and says, I'm coming in. Y'all listen to me this morning. This message for somebody, if not for all of us. Sin must have your consent. Sin must have your cooperation. And for the devil to work in your life, don't ever say, well, the devil made me do it. No, he can turn the heat up. He can entice you. He can tempt you. My friend, he can paint a beautiful picture. I mean, brother, he can stir up your lust. He can stir up your desires and your passions and your fleshly appetite. But I'll tell you, the initial act has to come from your will. And so, with that in mind, we find that's a good reason why this verse is in the Bible. It's because of our tendency to sin, and because of our tendency to cover it up. Even the worst sinner knows that they need to do some cover-up when there's sin in their life. Amen? That's the truth, isn't it? See, the practice has to do with our choice. The promise has to do with the consequence. God said, if you make the right choice in dealing with your sin, I'll make sure the right consequences come. Amen. When I got saved, that was a choice. God didn't twist my arm or nothing. God didn't hold a gun in my head. He didn't do none of that. He drew me and convicted me and showed me that I was lost without God. Amen. Showed me that I was a sinner at the age of 20. Are you listening? Having spent my life in church. I was raised in church. I went to church 9 months before I was born. Are you listening? We went to church. It wasn't an option. It wasn't up for discussion. Hey, Pops, where are we going to church? Or are we going to church? Dad, are we going to church today? Or are we going fishing? Are we going to church on Sunday? Or are we going to go to the circus? Or are we going to go to the races? Amen. It wasn't an option. Sunday, church, buddy. That's it. We're going to church. It was just a set.
I'm talking about set in stone, nailed down tight, engraved in concrete. That church was a part of our life. I went to church all the time. But I want to tell you, even though I went to church, raised in a Christian home, heard thousands of messages, and I made a profession of faith when I was about 8 or 9 years old, it did not change my life. It did not keep me out of the ditch of sin. It did not change my desires for sin. But I tell you what, at the age of 20, the sweet Holy Spirit got to dealing with my heart on about the fifth rowback on this side, Middle Fork Baptist Church, Rosman, North Carolina. He began to show me that that little profession wasn't nothing but a religious act. It wasn't real. It wasn't salvation. And no salvation is real. That does not change your attitude towards sin. That does not change your actions towards sin. Nobody's saved that loves to live in sin. I can take the Word of God and prove that. Amen. That's right. God help us, amen. But anyway, there is a choice you make, and then God says there'll be consequences. Negatively, if you make a choice to cover your sin, God said the consequences is you're not going to prosper. Positively, if you confess and forsake them, which is a choice, He said then the consequences is going to be you're going to have mercy. So it all depends this morning on what kind of choice you're going to make to deal with your sin. Amen? And so, amen. And we need a revival in this day. We need a renewal of a thought that sin needs to be dealt with in our life. But listen, it's never preached on hardly. You know I'm telling it right. You can go to 100 churches and you can go to 100 services and probably never hear the preacher preach against sin. It's the problem of our country. It's the problem of our homes. Righteousness has never destroyed a home. Righteousness has never ruined a young lady or a young man, ruined their life. Righteousness has never destroyed a nation. In fact, the book of Proverbs says righteousness exalteth a nation. But sin is a reproach to any people. Why should a man of God not preach against sin when it's the very culprit that's ruining our nation, our world, our homes, and our young people? Why should a preacher not preach on it? Do you think the God of righteousness, the God of heaven, is not desiring righteousness to be on this earth? He even told us to pray in the model prayer in the book of Matthew. He said to pray, Thy will be done in earth as it's being done in heaven. He said, hey, you need to pray that my will, which is a will of righteousness, it's a will of holiness, be done on earth as it's being done in heaven. Now, it seems to me like that if there's a God like that sitting on the throne in heaven, that's a God of righteousness, my friend, surely there'll be a preacher. You know, Noah was called a preacher of righteousness. Are y'all still with me? Say amen. I just want to make sure I'm not preaching all just to myself. All right? I know I'm preaching to myself, but I don't want to just preach to myself. Amen. But Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Did he ever preach against sin? Did he get up there when the threat of the flood was coming? Did Noah get up and he says, oh, I just want everybody to know that I feel like today's a day that something good is about to happen to you. That's the message that comes out of Oklahoma. Something good is about to happen to you. Lightning striking you, that's not good. Dying in judgment of the flood, that's not good. Are you listening? No, we need some leather-lung preachers stand up once again that's got a greater concern over the condition of his people rather than the paycheck and the benefit, amen, and preach against sin once again. I read a statement this week, I believe it was Friday, might have been yesterday morning. I was studying, getting ready for last night and stuff, and I read a statement, I don't even remember where it was at, I probably couldn't go find it right now if I had to, but I read a statement that said this, when there is preaching and no results, there's sin in the camp. When there's preaching that God uses, when there's preaching, God uses preaching. Amen. And when there's preaching and there's no results, It's because of sin. Somewhere, somehow, there's sin in the camp that's restricting and hindering the sweet Holy Spirit from working in the midst. He that covereth this sin shall not prosper. Amen. That's right. Or let's look at this just a little bit. So, preacher, I want you, if you don't get nothing else, I want you to get this right here. I wrote this down coming up the road. This verse of Scripture is telling me and telling us today, I want you to get it. I want you to get it. You listening? This verse of Scripture, Proverbs 28:13, is telling me this right here summary. This is it. This is a summary. God is saying, if you cover your sin, I'm going to uncover it. If you cover your sin, God said, I'm going to uncover it. But if you'll let me cover it, it'll never be uncovered. So it does matter on who you're going to get to try to cover your sin. Yeah, go ahead. You can do it yourself. You can try to do it yourself. But guess what the book of Numbers 32 tells us? Be sure your sin will find you out. That means it will have a resurrection on you. Now, I mean, listen, we're in the gardening season. We're fixing to get into it. And you know what you're going to be doing? You're going to be hiding them seeds. You're going to be covering them seed. And you're going to be thinking, well, they're gone. Nobody sees it. And then one day you're going to walk out there. What you thought was hid has now had a resurrection on you. Is now peeping through the ground. And before long is going to be standing tall where everybody can see there's a man's garden that started with some hid seed. Covered up. Go ahead. Somewhere, sometime, somehow, it'll have a resurrection on you. It'll peek through the ground. It'll slip through the cracks. You think you got her hid, buddy. It'll come out on you. You say, preacher, why? Because God said that's a principle in the Bible that I put in motion. Be sure your sin will find you out. That's right. Are we listening this morning? But here's the thing. If you'll cover it, I'll uncover it. But God says if you'll what we uncover... Listen, this is the way I wanted to say it. I missed it there a minute ago. You cover it, I'll uncover it. But what we uncover with confession and repentance, God says, I'll cover it. So instead of covering your sins, you need to uncover it so God can cover it. Because if you cover it yourself, God's going to uncover it. And that's not good. Can I say this? God knows how to embarrass you. He don't want to do it. He don't like to do it. He don't choose that as his first option. But when you continue to go on and on in rebellion and disobedience against a holy God, amen, and willfully and intentionally sinning against God, I'll tell you what God's going to do one day. God's going to say, that's enough. It's time for you to get caught. Amen. And that principle applies from the pulpit all the way through the pews. We all know, the media's made sure everybody knows, of the crooked preachers. They had their little flings and had their little financial paradise and all of that, my friend. But one day God says, all right, fellas, you've had your time long enough. That's my time. I'm pulling the plug on you. I'm exposing you to this world. And what embarrassment. What embarrassment that is. Can you imagine? That right there ought to be a motive for purity and holiness, is just to avoid embarrassment. Are you listening? A church in our area, I'll just narrow that down that far no further. A church in our area, and I hate to preach stuff like this, but not all preachers are bad. Not all preachers are homosexuals. Not all preachers are womanizers. Not all preachers are embezzlers. Are you listening? I just thought I'd throw that out there. They're not all like that, praise God. I know a bunch of them that are preaching righteousness and trying to live right and do right. Amen? And I'm one of them, praise God, by the grace of God. But this man, I'm talking about embarrassment. Had his sin going on. homosexuality. I'm talking about an older man. And had his sin going on, thought he had it hid, and all of a sudden, through an FBI sting operation, caught him. Exposed him in the papers. Another preacher up yonder in the Bristol area exposed him in the paper. Put him all over the newspaper. Put him all over the media. Can you imagine facing that church that you preached to? The one in our area never even faced him. I think he just went on out the back door and never said bye. I'd have went and crawled in a hole somewhere. But you know what? There'll be a day that that man maybe won't try to get right with God. And he'll never be right with God, but he comes back and apologizes and gets right with that church. Amen. I know I'm on television. I know I'm on tape. I know I'm preaching to a good congregation this morning, but that's good anyway. The more the merrier that hears it. I'm going to tell you, you cannot be wrong with a church and be right with God. I don't care if you pick your suitcases up and move to Timbuktu where nobody knows you. Blend in, change your name. My friend, dye your hair, whatever you want to do. God knows you wronged that church. You'll never be right till you get right with that church. You covered up. Move your membership. Covered up. It ain't over. God ain't wrote the last chapter yet. But anyway, let's deal with it. You cover it, I'll uncover it. But if you'll uncover it in confession and repentance, God says, then I will cover it. So it makes a big difference who's covering it. You say, preacher, what do you mean cover it? How many wants to know what the first mention? I'm not going to get done. I'm going to see that. The first mention principle. First mention principle is when you go back in the Bible and find where something is mentioned the first time, look at it, study it out, and the way that it's used in that first mention, it carries that same meaning and that same setting throughout its usage in the Scripture. I want you to note the first time the word cover, the Hebrew word translated cover in Proverbs 28:13 is used in Genesis chapter 7. I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 7. I want you to see, just to get an idea, what the Bible's talking about when he's talking about he that covereth, he has sinned. Boy, this is a preach, I'm telling you. Genesis chapter number 7. It's used twice, in fact, here. We'll find our first mention. We'll find our first mention here. Genesis chapter number 7 and verse 19. Here we go. Are y'all ready? You're familiar with this, I know. This is the chapter that deals with the flood. Watch this right here. Verse number 19. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven, here it is, were covered. So in using that first mention illustration, in fact, let's read the next verse too, verse 20. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains, here it is again, same word, were covered. You know what God is saying right there? In using that first mention and applying it to the Scripture we're preaching from today, God is saying that even you could have mountainous sin. You could have those big, tall sin. And you can cover it. And for those mountains to have been covered in Noah's day with that flood meant that nobody could see them. They were out of sight. They were hid. But that covering didn't stay covered. There was a time after they were covered and looked like everything was out of sight and everything covered up. All of a sudden, God reached way down in there, you know, rolled his sleeve way up, reached way down in there and pulled the plug and it went. And what was covered is now uncovered. And the very same thing that was uncovered was what was covered. So you better not, and I better not try to cover my sin myself, because I could get it covered. I could get it where it's not in sight. People couldn't see it. But I tell you, we have a God that knows where the plug is at, and He knows how to reach into your secret life and pull the plug. And what you had covered up all of a sudden is exposed again. I'm telling you, friend, I don't know how to emphasize. I don't have the vocabulary to emphasize how important this message is for somebody's life today. I really don't know who, but I know God has sent the message. And is sending the message. Amen. I know some of you is getting a little wormy, a little squirmy. And I tell you what it could be. It could be you think, well, the preacher knows something. And I may know something. And then I may not know something. You'll just have to sweat it out. But I do know this. Whether the preacher knows or don't know, God does know. And He's sending a message to let you know that you better shape up. My friend, you better quit covering your sin and get right with God. Because He said, whatever you cover, I'm going to uncover. But if you'll uncover it through confession and repentance, God's saying in Psalms 32:1, I'll cover it. All right, listen to this. I don't have time to deal with all this. My goodness. Listen to this right here. And listen, there's Cain. Let me give you these two illustrations. I've already talked about Adam. Cain tried to cover his sin when he killed Abel. That'll preach. You know, he tried to cover it, and boy, it didn't happen. The blood cried out from the ground. You know the story, man. Who would have thought? Who would have thought the blood would cry out? Cain thought he had her made, buddy. Killed his brother. Probably buried him in a plowed field. Had all the bloodshed covered in a plowed up in a plowed field. How are you going to find evidence in a plowed field? Pretty easy when it's talking to you. The blood cried out from the ground. And Cain was found out. Tried to cover it, but God uncovered it. Are you listening? We could talk about Cain. We could talk about Achan. Probably one of the clearest examples in the Bible in Joshua 7. Achan, you know, he stole the Babylonian garment and a wedge of gold and went and hid it in his tent and thought everything was hunky-dory. Nobody knew about it except God. And brother, that crowd that just had whipped Jericho went against little old small insignificant Ai, and Ai whipped them. Why? Because that hid sin. Sin was hid underneath the bed, inside of his tent. And God, the man of God, was disturbed because of the defeat of his church. He went to prayer thinking it was his fault. And that's one thing that sin does in a church. It makes a preacher feel like it's his fault. And I don't know about you, but there's times when I know I'm trying to do right, yet I feel just plumb awful because of the condition of our church sometimes. I'm talking about, you know, at times. And you know what it is? It's just like that illustration in Joshua 7. You know what God said to Joshua? Up. Get off your face. It's not you. It's not your fault that defeat's in the house of God and death is in the house of God. It's not your fault. God said, there's sin in the camp. And started going through family by family by family by family. And all of a sudden, Achan came in, probably pale faced, sweating beads of sweat that big, popping out on his brow, knowing, uh-oh, God knows, buddy. And you know what? He not only died, but his whole family died. We could talk about Achan. We could talk about them and many others. But here's the two I want to compare. I'm not going to get done. I can see that. But I'm trying to find a place where I feel like God's done. That's a big difference. There's been a few times I've got done, God wasn't done. A few times God got done and I wasn't done. I want to know the difference. Like one fellow used to be here, went downstairs. I was preaching a big way of preaching, wide open. He went to get him a drink of water. And somebody says, the preacher done? He said, yeah, he's done. He just don't know it yet. I want to know it when I'm done. Amen. Amen. I want to know it when God's done. And that's what I'm looking for right now. But here's two. I want you, how many knows of Saul in the Old Testament? Brother Mark read the passage in 1 Samuel 15 this morning. Saul. You know what he was guilty of? You read it and you think, well, that's not that bad. He was told to ultimately destroy all of the King Agag and the Amalekites. And you know what? He didn't do it. He thought, you know what? I tell you what, we'll spare some of these good sheep and these good animals, and we'll use them for sacrifice. And you know, we'll just take this disobedience and make it look spiritual. And God will probably show favor to us. So he spared that, and all of a sudden God sent a man. Oh, help us, Lord. God is sending a man this morning with a message. Are you listening? God sent Samuel and said, go down to Saul's house. Go down to Saul's house. And you deal with him. And he went in there and dealt with him about his sin. And he said, well, I've obeyed the Lord. And about that time, the Lord reached over there and gouged one of them sheep. And he went, eh, eh. Or the oxen went, nah. That'll work, preaching anyway. And Samuel said, oh, you've obeyed the Lord? Then what is the bleating of the oxen? Is that sheep I hear? You was told to kill it, everything, destroy it all. And you spared some? You said you obeyed the Lord? He said, well, I figured I figured you know the Lord would be honored with the sacrifice. And Samuel said, to obey is better than sacrifice. And just because Saul tried to cover it up, never confessed it, never repented, God took the kingdom away from him. He lost everything. You say, preacher, that was a minor thing. That was just minor. But on the other hand, there was another man in the Bible named David. David committed a sin far greater than what Saul did. Saul just spared a few sheep and a few oxen, hoping to use them in church. David committed adultery. David committed was the ringleader of a murder of Uriah, Bathsheba's husband. He lied. He covered it up every way coming and going. But guess what? That's 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel 11, by the way. The next chapter, God sent a man. See, Saul sinned. Not too big of a sin, but he sinned. Covered it up. God sent a man, Samuel, preached. He didn't get right with God. God took the kingdom away from Saul. He lost everything. But on the other hand, here's David. David's guilty of a far greater sin. And by the way, fornication, adultery, sex outside of marriage is still S-I-N. Hollywood will never tell you that. They publicize it. They make it popular. They make it look prosperous. And I want you to know the book of Proverbs says that if you do that, if you commit that adultery, that the reproach will never leave your house. Are you listening? There's a lot said in that Bible, buddy, about sexual sin. But David committed adultery and was partaker of murder, instigator of murder. Listen, listen! God sent a man, the next chapter, named Nathan, run that long finger about that long in his face and said, thou art the man! Two or three verses after he let him have it, the man of God let him have it. David didn't get mad. David was the king. David could have had Nathan killed. David was the king. All he had to do was just speak the word. Kill him. Away with him. And they'd have killed Nathan, the man of God. But David knew he'd been found out. David knew that God had sent a man with a message. And it wasn't general. It was personal. It wasn't somebody's guilty. It was a finger in his face saying, thou art the man. But you know what David said a few verses after that? I have sinned. You know what he did right there? He confessed. Amen. He uncovered his sin. He said, I'm guilty. I've sinned against God. And guess what God did? God never condoned his sin, but God covered it. God forgave him. Sure, there was reproach. Sure, there was suffering in his family. You can read about it. There's a classic two character illustration. One that sinned a lesser sin, but never uncovered it with confession, but rather covered it up with lies and so forth. And David started doing that. David started covering his, but when the message came from the man of God, "Thou art the man," David said, "I sinned," and David repented. You're getting a message today. You're getting a message today. What are you going to do with it? Are you listening? I'm telling you, there was a time, friend, when the people of God listened to the man of God because they knew the man of God was going to give a message from God, and God was going to let them know, "Hey, I know you. I know you. I know you," through the preaching. But most people now look at a preacher as an entertainer. I am not an entertainer. I am not interested in being an entertainer. I'm not a joke teller. I'm a preacher. And I'm all for having fun. I don't dress black all the time, wear a veil over my face. Amen. I have a big time. I enjoy life. Are you listening? I enjoy life. Amen. Being saved. Listen, I love it. I love it. It's great. It's wonderful. Do I look like I'm having a bad time? No, brother. I tell you, you said, "Preacher, why are you running the roads and preaching all of your life and preaching and preaching?" Why? Because God is sending messages through me to people. And I know this message has come. It wasn't my orders. It wasn't what I was going to do. It wasn't what I was going to deal with. But coming up the road last night by myself, God, I'm telling you, God, out of the whole Bible, thousands of verses, God lifted that verse out and put it in my heart and put an impression in my spirit. Preach that in the morning. So I had no doubt about it. Somebody better listen. Somebody better listen. You say, "Preacher, you're trying to scare us." No, I'm trying to put the fear of God in you because it's going to happen. We're subject to get a report just any time in the very near future if you keep trying to cover your sin. Watch this right here. You say, "Preacher, how do you cover it?" I'm not going to get done, but let me just throw these out there. Y'all ready? Here's how you cover your sin. Number one, by blaming others. Adam did it. "Well, it's a woman you give me." Huh? But did God accept? "Okay, Adam, I'm sorry." "I'm sorry. I understand your sin. I understand. I'll excuse it because, you know, you had somebody in your life, you know, is kind of influencing you in a bad way. You know, you're blaming her." You let him off the hook? Come on, nod your head like this. It won't fall off. Amen. Did Adam get by? Blaming others won't do it. You can blame everybody at workplace, at the schoolhouse. You can blame everybody in your neighborhood. You can blame everybody, my friend, in your home. You can blame everybody for your sin, but that won't cover it. Here's another one. Number two, you can cover it by excusing it. You'll never get right with God by trying to excuse your sin, making excuses for it. "Well, preacher, you know, I was a victim of circumstances. Preacher, I just happened to be at the wrong place and it just happened to me." Excuses. Thirdly, you cover your sin by lying about it. "I didn't do it, Daddy." No, good and well you did. Come on. You can lie, you can cover it up, you can fool mom and daddy, you can fool your husband and wife, you can fool the preacher, you can fool the teacher. But you have not fooled God. Are you listening? You've not fooled God. Don't lie about it. Worst thing you can ever do is lie about it. Boy, my daddy said that, "Listen, son, if you ever do something wrong, better just tell me. Just tell me. Just tell me straight up. You know, I thought the truth would set you free. But I found out the truth a lot of times took me to the bedroom. And my daddy had prayer with me. We had a prayer meeting. And I'd done most of the praying." Amen. That's right. I'm daddy. Daddy was very patriotic. We'd go to the bedroom, friend. And I'd turn black and blue and see stars.
It's bad. But Daddy always told me, said, don't you ever lie to me. Don't you ever lie to me. If I ever catch you in a lie, it's going to be too bad. And he did. He caught me in a lie or two, and it was too bad. I'm telling you, it was real bad. It was worse than bad. I'm 47, and I've not forgot how bad it was. Don't lie about your sin. You can lie verbally about your sin. Come on now. I'm still preaching. I'm about done, but I'm still preaching right now. Are you listening? You can lie. You can lie verbally about your sin. Well, I didn't do it. I wasn't over there. I wasn't with him. I wasn't with her. I didn't say that. I didn't see nothing. Don't ever run with friends that'll cover your sin up. They're not a friend. Because if they'll cover yours up, they're going to expect you to cover theirs up. Are you listening? Get you a friend that says, hey, buddy, if you ever do anything wrong, you cheat, steal, lie, whatever, I'm going to tell on you. You ought to shake her hand and say, boy, I'm glad I got you as my friend. Keep me in check. Hey, man, don't go with a hoodlum. Don't go with a hoodlum and a heathen that's worse off than you are, that's lying and covering up their sin. Because here's your principle, and you can put her, go ahead and write her down. Go ahead and write her down. Fold it up good and tight. Put it in your Bible. Put it in your heart. Put it in your bank. Because this is true. If they'll lie for you, they'll lie about you, and they will lie to you. Ah, right. Hey! They'll lie for you. Then they will lie about you. And then they will also lie to you. That's good preaching right there, buddy. Are you listening? Don't lie about it. You can lie verbally. You can also lie in action. Hypocrisy. Come to church, act like everything's hunky-dory and fine when there's sin in your heart. And sin's not right, and you're not right with God. Well, we can all do that, can't we? Come on. Lie in action. All right, here's another way you can cover it up. Running from it. Running from it. Here's another way of covering it up. Keeping it a secret. Trying every way in the world, make sure it stays a secret and stays private and stays unknown. God says, nope, I won't let it stay there. I've noticed sometimes watching some of those investigations, them crime-solving mystery things, there's always been somebody off over in the corner, around behind a bush or something that always saw what happened. You think nobody's seen it? Nobody's going to see it? Oh, they see it. Somebody seen it. It's just a matter of time till they tell it. Are you listening? Preacher, you're scaring me. Good. That's wonderful. Put the fear of God in us. We need it. Amen. Keeping it a secret. Here's another way of covering it up. Letting time elapse. Well, if I can just get through about 4, 5, 6 years and it not come out, it's gone. Let time elapse. Let a lot of time get between you and that sin. Best I can study it out, it was 12 months. It was 12 months, Brother Craig, when Nathan come walking into David's life and said, thou art the man. He probably thought, he saw January and February and March, April and May come, and June, July and August, September, October, November and December. He's probably thinking, yes, I've got it made. And all of a sudden, after 12 months, here comes a man of God. You did it. And he got right with God. Time elapsing will not cover your sin. It may be, listen, I'm convinced of this. I don't have a particular illustration, but I'm convinced there's people sitting in churches that are not right with God because they've not dealt with sin. That's been 20 years ago. Oh, time elapsed. Here's another way of covering it. Justify it. Justify it. Try your best to make it look right. Look like it was a good thing, right thing to do. Here's another one. You ready? Express shallow sorrow. Have a tear or two roll down your cheek. Fabricated. Wasn't real. Wasn't from the heart. Just shallow. A lot of times you talking about crying? When I knew I was caught, and I knew it was going to be a powwow when Daddy got home. All Mom had to say is, son, you've had it when Daddy gets home. Or I'm going to tell Daddy when he gets home. I knew the jig was up for me. I knew if I was going to get saved, I better get saved. Because it's over. Are you listening? Trying to cover it up with, and over Daddy come up the driveway. You know, chin would quiver. I had sackcloth and ashes and burlap sack, you know. I was repenting and tears. Daddy, I'm sorry. And it did get me out of a few whippings. But in my heart, it wasn't real. It was a show, buddy, to get out of Daddy's wrath. And then when Daddy wasn't looking, I was back in it again. You listening? You cover it with shallow sorrow. Here's another way to cover it. Good works or religious practice. Sin in your life. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll start going to church faithfully. And I'm all for going to church faithfully. I preach faithfulness to church. It's in the Bible. But you can come every service and never miss a service the rest of your life, and it'll never cover your sin. Well, I'm going to start reading my Bible. You can read it from cover to cover every 6 days, and it still won't cover your sin. Oh, I'm going to get involved in church activities. You can go on visitation, knock on every door in Rogersville till your knuckles are blue. My friend, it won't cover your sin. Religious practice and good works will not cover your sin. There's only one thing that will cover your sin, and that's the blood of Jesus. There in Psalm 32 and verse number 1, it states there very clearly, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. How does God cover your sin? God covers it with blood. Two examples and I'm done. You have number one, you have in the Old Testament, you had the sacrifice. In the Holy of Holies, you had the tabernacle, the outer court, the holy place, and then the Holy of Holies behind the veil. Behind the veil, you had the altar of the mercy seat. Okay? You had the mercy seat. Well, inside the mercy seat, the Ark of the Covenant was what? The broken law. The commandments of God was inside the mercy seat. Are you listening? Well, when the high priest would take the blood shed from an innocent lamb, would go inside there, offer that blood on that altar, and that blood would cover that altar. Underneath was the broken law, the law that the people of Israel had transgressed against and sinned against, the commandments of God. That's what a sinner is a transgressor of the law. You've broken the Word of God. You did what the Bible said not do. Or you didn't do what the Bible said to do. And what happened before that blood was put on there? All God could see was the broken law. All God could see was the sin and the transgression. But when that blood covered it. See, the wages of sin is death. God says, that's my payment. Got to be bloodshed. Well, when that blood was from the innocent lamb was put on that altar, guess what happened? It covered. It covered that broken law. And when God would look down there, He didn't see the broken law, but rather He saw the blood of a sacrifice. Hallelujah. That's wonderful. Another example, real quickly. Exodus 12. You remember when God pronounced judgment on Israel, on Egyptians? And God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Take the blood of a lamb, you know, an innocent lamb. Take that blood, put it on the doorpost and on the lintel. And He said, when the death angel comes through, sees the blood, he'll pass over you. God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. You know why? Sin's covered with the blood. You cannot be saved by your good works because there's no blood involved. Manual labor can never satisfy God because it's an imperfect, bloodless sacrifice. Can never be saved with works. You can never be saved with morality. Never be saved Listen, you can't be saved by those things. You cannot be saved by them because there's no blood. Listen, let me just ask you this simple question. And I've asked it before, but I'm asking it again. If salvation can come by anything that you can do, anything that you can produce, then why did Jesus die? Jesus died because it was absolutely essential that the innocent die for the guilty. It was absolutely essential that the one who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we could be saved through His bloodshed. And on the cross of Calvary, the Lamb of God, innocent, never committed a sin, shed His blood for the sins of the world. And when I receive Christ, listen, when I receive Christ as my personal Savior, guess what happens? The blood of Jesus Christ covers my sin. I personally believe the mercy seat is in heaven. The Ark of the Covenant is in heaven. I could be wrong, but you can't prove it. I believe it's in heaven. And when you get saved, I know we talk about the blood being on our heart and all that. When you get saved, God don't put no blood on you. God don't put the blood on you. God puts the blood up there where the broken law's at. And that blood covers your sins in the eyes of God. And that's how you get to go to heaven. I like it. Amen. That's the truth. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Are you listening? I hope you received the message today. God sent it. I hope you'll receive it. Let's pray.